welcome to Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, where we go back in time to discuss our favorite toys, one toy line at a time. Hello, and welcome to Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, action figure exclusive.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jeff. It's a Star Wars version of the show. We're here to talk about Lando Calrissian, General Pilot. And when you hear my voice do that, that means that I have the parentheses around it. So I thought you were going to laugh at that, Taylor. That's why I paused for laughs and you gave me nothing. Thank you for that.
Sorry, you cut out just then, so I didn't actually hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a likely story.
It's true.
Technical issues, folks. What can we say? This is what you come for, right? So Lando Calrissian, General Pilot. Could you hear the parentheses around my voice that time?
I can.
Okay. I came out in 1985 as part of the Power of the Force line, and he came with a Palace Blaster and a General Cloak, which was removable, but not that easy to remove.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen it that removable.
I've never seen one removed, so that tells you it's really not. And it's a great cape. Cloak. We'll talk about it. It's soft goods. So, Taylor, did you have one of these when you were a kid?
I did not. The only Lando I had was the Skiff Guard, but I would
really?
Say
you didn't even have the Empire Lando.
I did not. I would say though that the Skiff Guard, like his head sculpt, looks very similar to this one.
I don't think it's the same. It may be the same head sculpt. I'm not entirely sure.
It looks very similar though. I'm trying to look at mine over here and compare them.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Okay. Because it would mention it here.
True, and that wouldn't be Kenner's style.
Yeah, the Rebel Scum page says, in a surprising move, it appears as if the figure sculptor decided to use none of the reference material made available by Lucasfilm. Not only this figure sporting the wrong belt and missing the huge comm link that should be on Lando's right wrist, but they sculpted the wrong shirt on the figure as well. That entirely aside, the head sculpt was fairly accurate and the cape was completely off the hook, helping this figure become one of the coolest in the entire collection, despite its discrepancies. And speaking of, let's talk about the reference material. Let's talk about that the card for this one. The photo that they chose to use in this one is odd to me because Lando looks like he's slouching.
He does.
But you can see that wrist communicator large and in charge. And yeah, he looks more like Carl Winslow from Family Matters than Lando Calrissian, honestly, because he's like slumping. It looks like his stomach is sticking out to me. It's really weird. It's unsmooth photo, right?
It is a very unsmooth photo. I haven't seen Billy Dee slouch like this except for when he was in the 2004 like parade at Disney.
Right.
He was just slouched over the side of the car in the parade, which I saw in person. That was kind of weird.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, hey, that's Billy Dee Williams. Why does it look like he's half asleep on the back of that car?
He probably was, yeah.
I was afraid he was going to fall off.
But it's a weird reference. It's a weird photo, but especially since the figure looks enough like it. But at this point, I am surprised that the pants don't match a little better because his pants were a lighter gray and these seem to be more of a tan or a khaki.
Yeah.
It's odd.
I do have a modern figure of him and the blue, it's almost like a robin's egg. So it's like a gray with a little bit of blue added to it.
Right, but his pants are like they almost have some lavender in them.
Kind of on this figure, yeah, it does. It's weird because sculpting wise, they did put that comm link on. However, it's not painted.
Right, that's right. They do have the comm link, but it does. It looks like just part of his cuff.
Yeah, it looks like a part of his cuff, and the belt is, you know, they're right in that the belt is wrong, and the shirt technically doesn't come down like a tunic. So that one was really odd, because they could have actually just come down to the belt and then had just pants from there on out. But they chose not to, so that's a little strange.
It's an interesting one. It's a, yeah, it's it was an interesting way to go. It's an interesting choice, as we say in the theater world. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. There is a very small communicator there. So let's talk. Let's like we always do. Let's talk, start at the top and work our way down. The head sculpt, like you said, it is very very similar to the skiff guard, and it may be the same, but I don't think that it is. His hair looks a little fuller to me.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because they would have had to fit. They had to fit the helmet over it.
Yeah.
So it's very. He's very well coiffed.
It does look very well coiffed, and it has some volume to it,
as befits a general. And then, of course, you know the face sculpt looks a lot like Billy Dee Williams. It's a really good head face sculpt. The mustache is done much better than it was in the Empire version. It looks more like Billy Dee's mustache, and they've given him almost a smirk, like he's almost smiling in it, just like he does. Something about the way they've sculpted and painted his eyes and sculpted his mouth just makes him look like he's just about to say something quippy and cool, right?
Yeah, I think it's because he's got a little bit of a squint in his left eye where they've sculpted some of the eyelid on the bottom up, so it makes it look like he's, you know, because Billy Dee, he smiles with his eyes, so when he smiles, his eyes kind of not get puffy, but they kind of fold under his eyes and give him that kind of sharp look. It looks like they've got that sculpting there under his eye and a little bit of a raise on that mustache that makes it look like he's either about to wink at you or, yeah, say something really cool or smirk and point.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. I think that's exactly what they did. The thing about his hair that I like is on the back. If you look at the back of it, if you'll notice, like from the left side over, it looks like he's combed it from the left over. He's almost got a ducktail that comes down, and it's really the way they've done it is just—it's really intricate to me.
Yeah,
you see that, like the way the texture of it and everything. It looks it's very well done. So A+ job on the head. Now coming down from there, we'll stay on the back. He's got a tunic, like his shirt is basically a tunic. I guess it's all one piece. It's supposed to be all one piece, but he's got like these shoulder pauldrons that look like they're separate, but I don't believe that they are.
It's what he has. And this is, from the actual reference photo. He has a shirt. So he has kind of a bigger bloused type shirt underneath that's actually supposed to be in beige. And then he has it's like a command jacket that goes over the top that has the collar with the rank piping and everything.
Okay.
And that those sleeves kind of jet out onto over the top of the sleeves of the undershirt. And that's what we're seeing is we're seeing kind of the cutoff where the sleeves are over that. So he has a type of command, like a uniform shirt that goes over it. But
they didn't bother to sculpt kind of zips down. They didn't bother to paint the shirt underneath.
Yeah. And because they didn't paint the shirt, you know, it looks like it's all like one thing with shoulder pauldrons, but it's actually the case is that there's a shirt underneath and then you've got a kind of command vest that has sleeves on it over the top.
Which we've seen this before. And we always wonder why they don't paint one or the other. Which is interesting because we talked about, I think it was Barada, you know, he had the sleeves were a different color than the vest that he had on, but they went ahead and painted those. It's interesting. It's weird that they did that. But so he's got this, like you said, this jacket that goes up and it goes coming down the back. He's got a shoulder holster on and they've done a good job of sculpting that shoulder holster and sculpting the bunches around it. I like that we don't have a lot of fabric folds in this because we've really just got the folds at the belt lines, at that holster and then at his belt, right above his belt, because Lando's suits are going to be tailored and they're going to fit just right.
Yes.
So he doesn't have that happen. So I don't have a problem with the lack of texture on this one, especially when you come around to the front and we have, we've got his collar is split and he's got, you know, looks like rank badges on either collar. From there, which are painted silver. And then coming down from there, there's a seam going all the way down the middle. The shoulder holster comes all the way across the front and there's no gun in it. I kind of wish they had sculpted a gun in there or left it open so that you could put his gun in there, because the gun that they gave him wouldn't fit in there, I don't think, would it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah, the way they sculpt that, the only working holster we got at all in this line
was Bespin Han.
Was no, not even it was a Hoth Han.
That's what I meant, Hoth Han.
Yeah, it was the only one, and that one was by mistake, but it works so well. And you figured that, you know, that they could have done it. I know E picked up Carl Weathers' character from The Mandalorian in the retro style.
Grief Karga.
And he has a, huh?
Grief Karga.
Grief Karga. And he has a working holster, and it's beautiful. It works great. But they use a lot of the same thing that they did with Han. And I could see some level of being able to fit this inside the holster on his chest, but I don't know if they would have been able to get away with the tooling to do it. Like, it's just, it works better on the leg than it would being able to put it on the chest, if that makes sense. Unless you did it like Cobra Commander's blaster, where you stuck it into the a slot on his back.
Right. No, there's no way this was gonna, that gun was gonna fit in this, even if it did work. That's why it just seems odd to me that they went that route with it.
Right. But I don't think anywhere in the line, like when they've had holsters that were sculpted, I don't think they've ever put a weapon in it. I think it's always been closed except for the biker scouts.
No, you're right. I just it's odd to me that they would give him a gun that wouldn't fit in the holster, even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't get it, but whatever. That's not what they pay me for. up above that, he's got, I guess it's supposed to be like a, I don't know what it's supposed to be, like metals or something. He's got that silver spot there.
Usually if it's not ranking, what it is their command codes that they're able to pull, command codes. On the Empire, they were like the little command cipher tubes that were up in the top of their jackets. Whereas I think the Rebels had them in a card on their chest.
Oh, okay.
Command codes. You only see it with certain generals. I think Nadine has one, or Maydeen, I should say. And I think even like in the newer series, I think even General Leia has the same type, where it's got some sort of commanding on there, but then you could, I think, open it up and take command codes out.
Okay. I had no idea that was a thing. That's interesting. Okay. And then below the holster, he's got a belt that matches the same brown as a holster. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of earth tones with this figure. And Lando did not wear earth tones, which is odd to me. And then again, coming down from there, we've got very little, got a few folds around the belt, but that's pretty much it. It hangs pretty straight after that. Talking about his arms, on each of his shoulders, on those pauldrons, there are pockets there.
Mm-hmm.
Which we see a lot, but you never see anybody actually putting anything in them.
Right.
Now, this is where we get a lot of fold work on these sleeves, because, again, they're sort of puffy. It's sort of a pirate shirt. So we've got a lot of fold work at his elbows, especially, and then coming down around his cuffs. And that jives with the picture that we got, the reference photo that we got. And what's interesting is you mentioned that communicator on his right wrist, well, it's supposed to be a communicator, and it makes sense because it's taller than the cuff on his left wrist.
Yes, it's taller. And then I believe on the inside, there's a small mark on the, like, sculpting mark on the inside that looks like it, like, comes to or, like, connects at one point. So it's got a little bit of sculpting on the inside, but on the outside of it, it's got, well, it's like kind of two stacked buttons, which is similar to the communicators that were on Luke's and Han's wrist for the Hoth figures.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of like the way they sculpt it. It's very simplistic, but it does, the job. It's a nice nod to. So it's obviously bigger than the other cuff, and the other cuff has no other sculpting on it. So if you look at the other cuff, it's plain. So just with those indicators that it's taller, and then has what looks like button sculpting, that it shows that there's a communicator, but it's not painted.
That's what I was going to say. The button, this photo I'm looking at, the buttons look like they're painted silver, but I don't think that they are.
No, that's just a highlight. There's no paint app at all on the arms except for the hands.
Why do you suppose they did that?
I don't know. I mean, it could be, you know, a lot of times it could be for budgetary reasons. At this point, you know, the painting one more part could have priced it out of what it needed to be. And so, you know, this is where, like, when I nerd out and I go and watch Scott Neitlich's channel, Creative Spectre, to understand how the toy industry works, even back in the 80s, some of those ideals are still in play. And it could be that one extra paint app on an arm could have priced this figure out more than what they needed.
That's true.
If they would have priced the hair and the boots to be painted instead of having the boots unpainted this time, then that might have meant that they just couldn't get paint application on an arm.
That's true. And I guess the boots being painted makes a lot bigger difference than that being painted would have.
Yeah, because honestly, there have been many times when we haven't gotten that boot paint. And so it's nice to finally have it on a figure. But that also now means that something else is going to be sacrificed. There have been times I wanted to go through the line and pick out how many paint applications each figure has, because I wonder if there's an actual calculative amount of paint that each figure can have off the line.
Okay.
I wonder if someone's done that.
I probably. There's probably several YouTube videos about it. So from there, let's talk about the leg sculpting. Again, he's got the top part of the legs, have the remainder of the jacket that he's wearing, the tunic, whatever. And then coming down from that, we have, again, it's sort of a lavenderish, brownish, with a little bit of purple in it. I don't know what color this would be. It's supposed to be gray, but it's...
Yeah, it's kind of a lavender gray. It's strange.
And again, we've got some decent fold work there, but we get more fold work, interestingly enough, on the left leg than we do on the right. The left one seems to be stuffed into the boot either a little more haphazardly or not as well. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I was trying to, I know that the way that he poses is that the right leg poses back a little bit and the left leg poses forward. So I feel like that different pose is what's striking more of the folds in the leg because it's being thrusted forward more. And so there's a lot more like fold sculpting along the side and the back. Whereas on the other leg, we're getting a little bit more of the fold sculpting on the front. So I'm wondering if that's just because of the way that his legs pose out, because I believe his left leg goes out slightly more than his right when both feet are flat on the ground.
Right. Yeah. What's interesting to me is you can almost make out the outline of his knees on each leg.
Yeah.
That's some intricate sculpting to me. And then, of course, we got the boots. We talked about the boots are painted black. We've got some nice fold work there at the ankles. And again, the left one, there's a lot more fold work at the ankle. Like he's got it. He's flexed a little more. His left ankle is flexed a little more than the right.
Yeah.
Or I guess curved a little more than the right.
Oh, and I take it back. I told you wrong. The right leg is pushed out more than the left. I had the legs wrong. Just the legs. But yeah, one leg is pushed out more than the other in the pose. So like in there's a little bit of action posing to him. So like his left arm is kind of out more than his right arm. I guess like a controller arm, and then his right leg is sculpted out a little bit more than his left. So his right leg kind of punches forward a little bit more.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's why you have more sculpting in that than the other.
All right. So that's a figure. So let's talk about the cape that goes with it. This is the real star of the show to me, because this is the one that looks the most like any fabric that we saw in the films, because it is, it's a soft goods cape, and it's, the material is very flowy. It hangs. Yeah. It's not stiff at all.
No, it's super flowy. And it actually, the color matches his cape
It does.
In the movie.
Very well.
Yeah.
This is what makes him look like the character from the movie. Whereas if they had done any other kind of cape, like a vinyl cape or a stiffer cape, it would not have worked. It would have destroyed the illusion because they made so many, took so many creative licenses with the rest of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and at this point, you know, in Kenner's game, like they, you know, we joked about Jedi being like the soft goods extravaganza for the Star Wars line.
Right.
So they're kind of falling off the end of the trail from that. So any figure that's going to have any soft goods, it's going to be a true cloth and not necessarily a vinyl. I think they've kind of done away with vinyl at this point. And so for me, the cloth that they chose is nice because it's not the fuzzy stuff that we've gotten with other things. It's nice. It's satiny. It has a little bit of sparkle to it and it just looks very commanding.
It does. It very much does. What kind of material is this, would you say?
I don't know. It's a, I'd say something like a cotton, but I think cotton's a little stiff. I'm not sure. I know it's probably synthetic.
It's almost like a lycra or a rayon.
Yeah.
Rayon is what I was thinking, but
I wish I knew more about materials to be able to tell you.
Me too. And I'm remembering the texture of it. That's why I don't say rayon, but it's got an interesting texture to it. It's just a really, really well done piece, and it's sewn at the neck, so mm-hmm. there's no snap or Velcro or anything to come loose or to come off, which is also why it's almost impossible to remove, and definitely right. impossible to remove and get back on successfully.
Yes,
but I like that because I'm not ever going to take it off of my figure.
No, and I think the only way that you could take it off is because I think his head was a. Head that had I call it the head and pole spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe like most people, if they took it off, it's because they popped the head off of the head spoke and then took it off that way, which is okay. Cause a lot of the figures from Jedi used it, but not all. Some of the old figures still use the old T-bar that was like shoved down to the body. So the fact that this one has a head spoke, you could remove the cape, but it's a pain getting those heads off. And usually if kids use their mouth, you're going to have bite marks around his neck.
Right. Exactly.
Not that I would know that at all.
No. So let's talk about the gun. This is a gun. We've seen this once before, right? Or have we not?
Yes, we have. This was the same gun that came with Jedi Luke. So
that's what I Jabba's thought.
Palace Luke, except his was gray and this one's black.
Okay, yeah. So we've talked about it before. It's an interesting gun. I like that they've done the texturing on the handle, mm-hmm. and the little piece that's on the underside of the end of the barrel. Yeah, I never did know what that was.
It's some sort of emitter. Who knows?
Yeah, but maybe it's a laser sight.
It might be. But what's cool about this gun is this gun is. In the actual film, the weapon that like this gun is used in Jabba's palace. This is the
that's
one
like that, the Gamorrean guards, right?
It's one of the pirates. It's the one
that's
that
right.
Luke reaches out and pulls the gun from his holster using the Force. It's that specific gun. The gun that that Lando uses as a general, I believe, is a almost like a sporting blaster, a little bit like Leia's. So it's a little bit more boxier, more modernized gun. So I find this one interesting. I think it fits the part really well, but it's not exactly the gun that he has. The gun that he carries in his holster is a little bit shorter and not quite so big on the barrel.
That's what I was thinking. But again, you know, this late in the line, are they really going to give us a new pistol, you know?
No, absolutely not. They're going to find one that works. Yeah.
Or a new blaster, I should say. Okay.
I'm surprised it's not the indoor blaster, but I also think that they kind of wanted to vary that up and not have to use that particular one again.
I just always assumed that he came with the Rebel blaster, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that too.
So, all right. So let's talk about this figure then. So what is your favorite feature about this toy?
I really like, besides the head sculpt, I love the soft goods cape. I think it works really, really well for
him. It's the same for me. The cape, like I said, the cape is the main event for this figure. This is the one that when you saw it in the store, you're like, oh, wow, this is great. I have to get this one because he's got the cape. It's not just another Lando. It's Lando with this extravagant cape that goes all the way to the ground.
Yeah, it's oversized. It can sit up on his shoulders.
I need a cape like this. It's a cloak. It's not a cape. It's a cloak. I need a cloak like this.
Yeah.
The Count needs a cloak.
I also like the fact that the way that it's on him, you can turn it so it can hang over one shoulder more than the other.
Exactly. Because so it's sewn on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could even turn it around and it could be like a slanket without the armholes.
I like it.
What is your least favorite feature about this toy?
I think for me, it's probably the pant color.
Yeah. If they had gone with a lighter blue, it would have made the figure pop.
Yeah, I think so. And it would have made it look more like the reference material.
Agreed.
What's yours?
It's the same for me. It's the pant color. Yeah.
I was going to add to that because for me, besides for the pant color, another quibble I had, not necessarily the sleeves, but it was that communicator, not having that painted black or even brown. I just felt was kind of a loss. And I'd like to have seen some sort of paint app on that to identify that as a communicator. Because obviously they sculpted it, but then having it not painted, it just looks like another cuff.
Right. Well, but my thing, the pants to me is even less forgivable because they had to use paint budget to paint the pants. So why not paint them
the right color? I don't know. And maybe it was to make it, cause it matches the cape. And I'm wondering if maybe the first material they had was, you know, that it, maybe it matched the cape in the first photos that they had. And that's what they went off of. But I mean, at 1985, they should have seen the movie by now.
Right. Well, yeah, they had, and again, they had all the reference photos they needed. And they even had the same color blue we talked about. I believe it was the Barada figure that had the light blue. Wasn't it?
Yes. Well, even General Madine has even his blue that he has on his sleeves is closer to the blue that he uses versus this lavender gray kind of muddy color. This is like clay color.
Yeah, it is.
It seems muddy. It doesn't work quite so well.
So what do you feel best exemplifies the line with this toy?
You know, at this point, it's really just kind of keeping with the subtleties of design and features that we need to identify the characters. They're just kind of continuing on with that. And as we get towards the end of the line, you know, there's a part of me that feels like it's kind of gone a little sloppy because there's, you know, this figure that doesn't follow a lot of the reference, but it's still identifiable definitely as the figure. We still have exactly what we need to understand that this is General Lando.
Right. And for me, what that means is they gave us a reason to buy another Lando figure. Right. We had three Lando figures. They were all extremely unique. Just like we had all our Hans and Lukes and Leias were all extremely unique.
Yep.
And you gave the kids a reason and the parents a reason to buy it. So I think that's to me is what it says about the line. Is this toy cool?
Yes, I think so.
I agree. All of our complaints aside, again, the cape, the head sculpt, and it's Lando. Come on, it's got to be cool.
He likes playing with this one. This is one that he really likes. He likes this awesome. One over the Bespin one.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, folks, we would love to hear what you have to say. So head to the Facebook page and let us know what you think. And if you have one without the cape on it, I'd love to see it because I've never seen one without the cape. But by all means, do not take the cape off of yours if it's still on there.
Right.
All right.
You want it off.
Right. So if we're talking toys with Taylor and Jeff, action figure exclusive.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeff.
And remember, they're not dolls.
They're action figures.
With soft good capes.
The softest of soft goods.
Fancy.
It's almost velveteen. Good night, folks. Thank you for listening. For more episodes of this show or other Marvin Dog Media productions, go to marvindogmedia.com to stream or download the shows, or to subscribe via iTunes. Email us at marvindogmedia@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at marvindogmedia, follow us on Pinterest at pinterest.com/marvindogmedia. This podcast has been a production of Marvin Dog Media, all rights reserved. How many times can we say Marvin Dog Media?